Welcome to the Quanta Science Podcast. Each episode, we bring you stories about developments in science and mathematics. I'm Susan Vallett. Astronomers thought they had solved the mystery of gamma ray bursts. A few recent events suggest otherwise. That's next.
It's season 3 of The Joy of Why, and I still have a lot of questions, like, what is this thing we call time? Why does altruism exist? And where is Jan 11?
I'm here, astrophysicist and co-host, ready for anything.
That's right, I'm bringing in the A-team.
So brace yourselves.
Get ready to learn.
I'm Jan 11.
I'm Steve Strogatz.
And this is...
Quanta Magazine's podcast, The Joy of Why.
New episodes drop every other Thursday.
On December 11th, 2021, a beam of gamma rays, the most energetic form of light, slammed into NASA's Swift satellite. Within 120 seconds, the satellite had swiveled toward the blast and spotted the glowing embers of a cosmic catastrophe. 10 minutes later, alerts went out to astronomers around the world. Among them was Jillian Rastinajad, a graduate student at Northwestern University. To Rastinajad and her collaborators, this gamma ray burst looked oddly similar to an unusual burst from 2006. Rastinajad called up the Gemini Observatory in Hawaii and enlisted researchers there to stare deeply at the patch of sky where the burst had come from a billion light years away.
We saw the weather forecast. It was about to get cloudy and rainy, but it worked out because this telescope we also use in Arizona called the MMT. Some telescopes can only have one instrument on at a time to use, and we really wanted a near-infrared imager so we could get a good picture of the red light. We got so lucky. The second Gemini got clouded out, the right instrument came on the MMT, and it was serendipitous. It was perfect. And so this is where I was calling every night to the MMT because they had some weather too, but the observer was amazing. She found a hole in the clouds for us around 4 a.m. every day. And she got the right image.
By the time the chain of observations had wrapped up a week or so later, Rastinajad and her colleagues had a pretty good idea of what had fired those gamma rays across the universe. As they'd watched, the burst's aftermath had turned redder and redder. That's an unmistakable sign that in the debris, heavy atoms like gold and platinum were being forged. The main source of such cosmic alchemy is collisions involving neutron stars, the unimaginably dense cores of dead suns. The only problem was that such a conclusion seemed impossible. When neutron stars merge, astrophysicists suspect, it's all over in a fraction of a second. But Swift had recorded a gamma ray bombardment lasting what seemed like an eternity, 51 seconds. That's normally the signature of a very different type of cosmic drama. Since then, astronomers have identified more events like this. The most recent occurred in March of 2023, when the second brightest gamma ray burst ever detected lasted for 35 seconds. Again, astronomers observed the ruddy aftermath of a neutron star collision. They also recruited the James Webb Space Telescope to study the bizarre burst and spotted signs of the heavy element tellurium in the settling dust. Together, the string of observations brings a new mystery to an area of astronomy that most researchers had considered settled. What causes these supposedly quick, violent events to blast out gamma rays for so long? It's a puzzle astrophysicists will have to solve if they want to achieve the more ambitious goal of understanding the origins of all the different elements of the universe, many of which are born from these violent outbursts. Daniel Kaysen is an astrophysicist at the University of California, Berkeley. He specializes in cosmic explosions.
I've been really excited to see this because it's posed a real puzzle to the theory.
Today, Swift catches a gamma ray burst every few days. But the blasts were unknown until the height of the Cold War, when they appeared out of nowhere. In the 1960s, the U.S. Air Force launched the Vela satellites to make sure the Soviet Union was abiding by a nuclear weapon test ban. If the Soviets detonated a nuclear bomb in space, the resulting flash of gamma rays, those energetic waves of light as short as the nucleus of an atom, would be impossible to hide. The satellites didn't detect any Soviet violations, but between 1969 and 1972, they did pick up 16 mysterious flashes of gamma rays that researchers at Los Alamos National Laboratory determined to be of cosmic origin. In the following decades, NASA took up the investigation. The space agency launched a dedicated burst-hunting satellite in 1991, and over the next 9 years, it detected nearly 3,000 gamma-ray bursts. The events came in two varieties, short and long. Most short bursts lasted less than a second, while many long bursts went on for a minute or longer. Whatever was causing these bursts seemed catastrophic. In less than half the duration of a pop song, they emitted about as much energy as our sun produces over billions of years. What could possibly blaze so brightly? Astrophysicists initially weren't sure, but the tremendous energies involved pointed to world-ending cataclysms. And the two durations hinted at two types of catastrophes, a faster one lasting around 1 second, and a somewhat slower one unfolding over a minute. Astronomers found the origin of the slower bursts first. In the late 1990s, researchers got better at pinpointing the direction a burst came from. They started to catch afterglows that hinted at cosmic explosions. Then, in 2003, astronomers watching a nearby afterglow saw the brilliant fireworks of a supernova just days after a long gamma-ray burst. The burst had signaled the first stage in the death of a giant star. Understanding the faster cataclysm would take another decade and sharper tools. The breakthrough instrument proved to be NASA's SWIFT satellite, which launched in 2004. SWIFT featured a meter-long patterned lead plate that could snare gamma rays from a wide swath of the sky. Crucially, it also possessed the unique ability to swiftly swivel a pair of onboard telescopes in the direction of any astronomical outbursts. According to lore among SWIFT scientists, this point-and-shoot technology was partially developed for another Cold War defense project, Ronald Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, informally known as Star Wars, which aimed to shoot down nuclear missiles mid-flight. With SWIFT, astronomers could now get eyes on a burst within 2 minutes, quickly enough to catch the afterglows of short gamma-ray bursts for the first time. While watching the initial flash fade, astronomers also saw signs of an ensuing explosion, one that grew redder over time. Astrophysicists soon calculated that this redness was to be expected after a merger involving a neutron star. This could be a smash-up between two neutron stars or between a neutron star and a black hole. Such a collision would expel debris that blocked shorter, bluer wavelengths of light. Matching those explosions, dubbed kilonovas, with the brief gamma-ray flashes that preceded them, provided strong circumstantial evidence that neutron star mergers were the short catastrophe. Direct evidence came August 17, 2017. Two nearby neutron stars collided and shook the fabric of space-time, producing gravitational waves that the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, or LIGO, could detect. By reading the information coded in those ripples, scientists would later calculate the masses of the colliding objects and learn that they were neutron stars. Just after the gravitational waves arrived, the Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope picked up a 2-second-long gamma ray burst. And in the following days, astronomers saw the telltale reddening of a kilonova in the same spot as the gamma ray burst. The three back-to-back observations left little room for doubt. Short bursts could come from neutron star mergers. Brian Metzger is an astrophysicist at Columbia University and one of the theorists who first predicted what a kilonova would look like.
And then, of course, we had the neutron star merger from LIGO, and we saw very clearly a kilonova from that, and we saw a gamma ray burst. And so that kind of cemented everything that, like, okay, this picture really makes sense. And it is true that the gamma ray burst from LIGO's first merger was only a couple seconds long. It was viewed off the axis of the jet. We think you only see these bright gamma rays when the jet is, like, really pointing right at you.
That picture is now starting to fracture. First came Rustinijad's 51-second burst in late 2021. It looked a lot like a lengthy nearby burst from 2006 that appeared to lack a supernova. Here's Rustinijad.
From what I understand, the 2006 event always puzzled people, and it was maybe suspected that it came from a neutron star merger, but I can't emphasize enough how much this red transition is the, I don't like the phrase, but the smoking gun signature of a kilonova and a neutron star merger. And we just at the time in 2006 did not get any observations that could tell us that conclusively. So it wasn't until 2021 that we got this strong evidence that this was coming from a neutron star merger.
With modern instruments and a deeper understanding of what to look for, Rustinijad and her colleagues were able to see what astronomers in 2006 had not. The 2021 burst was followed by a dim red kilonova. That observation spurred Andrew Levan of Radboud University to revisit a mysterious 64-second burst he'd been puzzling over since 2019. The burst had gone off in the heart of an ancient galaxy where star births and deaths in the form of supernovas had ceased eons ago. In June of last year, Levan and his collaborators argued that the most likely explanation for their long burst was that two stellar corpses, at least one of which was probably a neutron star, had found each other and merged. And now, the James Webb Space Telescope has supplied the clearest view yet of what comes after an anomalous burst. When the 35-second burst reached Earth in March of 2023, SWIFT's gamma-ray sensing lead plate was facing a different direction. The energetic rays were detected mainly by Fermi, which pegged it as the second brightest gamma-ray burst of all time, only bested by an event in 2022. In lieu of SWIFT, astronomers used an interplanetary fleet of spacecraft to pinpoint the burst's position. In the days afterward, when telescopes on the ground again saw the signature reddening of a kilonova, Levan quickly fired off an emergency request for an almost real-time James Webb Space Telescope observation of the event.
So basically, when you have an unexpected event that you couldn't have predicted, you can write a few pages of justification. You send that to the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore. They get it reviewed quickly and then either say yes or no. Luckily for us, they said yes, and that allowed us to get these observations about a month after the initial burst.
The Webb telescope collected a bonanza of data from the billowing debris field. Optical telescopes can't see deeply into the thick kilonova cloud for precisely the reason the event captivates astrophysicists. It spews out giant light-blocking atoms through an arcane chain of events known as the R process. Stars typically fuse hydrogen atoms into helium and then later fuse lighter atoms into somewhat heavier atoms like oxygen and carbon. The R process stands for Rapid Neutron Capture Process. It's one of the only ways to leap straight to the heaviest naturally occurring elements. That's because a neutron star collision creates a dense maelstrom of neutrons. In the chaos, neutrons repeatedly worm their way into atomic cores, forming highly unstable and radioactive atoms. As neutrons in these atoms decay, they transmute into protons. If you end up with 78 protons, that's an atom of platinum. If you get 79 protons, that's gold. The bulky atoms forged by a neutron star dust-up block visible light and shine mostly in infrared light. That's why the Webb, an infrared telescope, was so well suited to peering into a kilonova cloud. Here's astrophysicist Brian Metzger.
With this recent event, it's just the striking fact that we've never observed a kilonova with JWST before. Like, it's the perfect instrument, because the reason that kilonova emit a lot of light in the infrared compared to supernova is particular to the composition of the material that's being ejected.
In the debris, the Webb telescope spotted tellurium atoms, which are made of 52 protons. This confirms that neutron star mergers can forge the rather heavy elements toward the end of the fifth row of the periodic table. Here's Levan again.
Because all of this is going on in the mid-infrared, we've never really been able to look at it before. And so, you know, we had this kilonova in 2017, but our observations mostly cut off at 2 microns. With Webb, you can do this much better spectroscopy and imaging at much longer wavelengths. You see this emission line, which is, we think, tellurium. And that's important because it's a much heavier element than the ones we've seen before.
But at the same time, the Webb telescope observation adds to the growing realization that regardless of how unlikely it once seemed, mergers involving neutron stars can produce long gamma ray bursts. The question now is, how? Supernovas shoot out long gamma ray bursts because stellar explosions are relatively slow and messy. A giant star's death starts with its center collapsing into a black hole. After that happens, a substantial amount of the external star stuff, perhaps adding up to the mass of several suns, spirals into the black hole. This launches powerful jets of particles that fire gamma rays into the void for up to several minutes. By contrast, neutron star mergers are supposed to be over in a flash. A neutron star packs the mass of a sun or so into a smooth, tiny sphere just a few miles across. When two of those dense orbs collide, or when one smacks into a black hole, the matter collapses into a black hole. During that final spasm, far less leftover matter gets thrown into orbit than in the case of stellar collapse. As the black hole scarfs down this light snack, which might weigh 10 times less than the sun, it briefly powers jets and a gamma ray burst, lasting tenths of a second. The new observations from Levan, Rastenajad, and others clash with this quick and clean image of neutron star mergers. Orr Gottlieb is a computational astrophysicist at the Flatiron Institute who wasn't involved in the observations.
It doesn't make any sense to have a 10-second burst from a system that lives only a fraction of a second. How can you last for so long? This is why it was so baffling to see such events.
One possibility is that something larger and messier than neutron stars is sending out these enduring blasts. In particular, their longer duration would more naturally fit with a merger between a white dwarf, a larger kind of stellar corpse left behind when a small star runs out of fuel, and a black hole or neutron star. That scenario results in more matter surrounding a black hole, but it's unclear if collisions involving white dwarfs would produce the right sorts of gamma ray bursts or even kilonovas. Here's astrophysicist Daniel Kaysen of Berkeley.
There's some things that are compelling about that because the timescales seem a little bit more natural since a white dwarf is a lot bigger than a neutron star. The time it takes to disrupt it and form a disk and have that disk accrete onto a black hole is a much longer time scale that fits in better with the GRB. So the size leads to a bigger ejection. And we've been doing some models of whether you could explain the glow that comes afterwards for the weeks and months afterwards. And it seems like you may be able to also explain that behavior with such a model if, you know, you might have to invoke some dust or other properties as well to it. The whole phenomenon has been much less studied. I think it's still work in progress, and we're working on it right now, so I don't feel like the puzzle is solved, but I think that both of those possibilities seem like the ones to explore, whether it's a neutron star merger with some behaviors at 30 days that we don't quite understand yet theoretically, or it's another type of event.
Another option is that the long gamma ray bursts don't come from feasting newborn black holes at all. Instead, if you smash together two tiny neutron stars and the resulting blob spins fast enough, it might resist collapsing into a black hole for a few minutes. The short-lived object would be a highly magnetized neutron star, a magnetar, that would emit a longer gamma ray burst as its twirling slowed. Metzger helped flesh out this scenario.
I actually introduced this idea in a paper in 2008 because at that time, there have been hints that these short gamma ray bursts can last longer than we would have expected in some cases. Even going back to the Swift mission, you would see a number of bursts where they would produce something that looks like a short gamma ray burst. And then there would be like 100 seconds of sort of X-ray or sometimes even gamma ray emission, sort of a hump of material that would follow it. And so I had been thinking a long time, well, what is making this second phase of emission in nominally short gamma ray bursts? So that sort of motivated me thinking about long-lived magnetars. even though it's an idea that I feel like me and some others came up with, I'm still just sort of rightfully skeptical of it because it's pretty radical that the two stars merge and not make a black hole.
Metzger says the most conservative possibility is that mergers involving neutron stars are just messier than astrophysicists thought. Last summer, detailed simulations from a collaboration led by computational astrophysicist Orr Gottlieb suggested that this might often be the case. In particular, when a light neutron star meets up with a sufficiently heavy spinning black hole, the neutron star spirals in and the black hole shreds it over hundreds of orbits. This leaves a heavier disk of material that the black hole needs tens of seconds to consume. While simulating collisions between neutron stars and black holes, Gottlieb, Metzger, and collaborators found that heavier disks driving longer gamma-ray bursts were quite common. In fact, in an ironic twist, their simulations didn't produce the often observed short bursts as readily as they did long bursts, raising questions about what exactly powers the short bursts. Once again, computational astrophysicist Orr Gottlieb.
The bottom line is that if you have a massive disk in these systems, you get a long JRB. And this is what we found. And this is what we generalized in the unified model. But back when we published that paper of the black hole neutron star merger, we didn't really understand why it happens. And I think this is probably the biggest problem now. This is the most important, maybe the only significant piece of the puzzle that remains out there.
What astronomers assumed to be a batch of mainly supernova-driven explosions now appears to be mixed up with some unknown number of neutron star mergers. So to figure out what really goes down when dead stars collide, they'll need to redouble their efforts to build a detailed catalog of gamma-ray bursts. That will require hunting for kilonovas, the signature of collisions, after both long bursts and short ones. If the distinction between long and short persists, it could be a sign that there's more than one way to cook up a kilonova. Here's astronomy grad student and researcher Jillian Rastinejad.
Now we're learning that anytime there's an event that's relatively close by, we should go for it. We should try to get all the information on it.
The Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, or LIGO, will also play a critical role. The observatory was offline for upgrades during these recent oddball bursts, but it's back online to listen for the distant collisions. If LIGO can pick up gravitational waves coming from a long gamma-ray burst, scientists will know whether neutron stars or black holes were involved. This will also allow them to rule out white dwarfs, which don't make gravitational waves detectable by LIGO. Detailed wiggles and waves at future observatories might even offer hints about whether the immediate product was a magnetar or a black hole. Here's Metzger again.
We clearly had two of these events in 2 years somehow, which is great because astrophysics is very messy. We're arguing very uncertain processes that we don't understand perfectly well, but gravitational waves are very clean. So I think that will be the only definitive way forward on this question.
By sensing the gravitational rumbles of neutron star mergers and observing gamma-ray bursts and kilonovas, astrophysicists might eventually accomplish their long-term goal of fully accounting for the origin of every substance in the universe, from hydrogen to platinum to plutonium. To do that, they need to know what types of mergers happen, how frequent each type is, which elements each type produces and in what quantities, and what role other events like supernovas play. It's a daunting undertaking that's only just beginning, says astronomer Andrew Levan.
There's still a core goal of working out the astrophysical sites where every element in the periodic table is formed. And there are still blanks. And so we think this is starting to fill in several of those important blanks.
Arlene Santana helped with this episode. I'm Susan Vallett. For more on this story, read Charlie Wood's full article, Extra Long Blasts Challenge Our Theories of Cosmic Cataclysms, on our website, quantummagazine.org. Just a quick note, the Flatiron Institute is funded by the Simons Foundation, which also funds this editorially independent magazine. Neither the Flatiron Institute nor the Simons Foundation has any influence over our coverage. Explore math mysteries in the Quanta book, The Prime Number Conspiracy, published by the MIT Press, available now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or your local bookstore.